For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all his people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. Pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his people, and his incomparably great power for us to believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that can be invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything, for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So Buzz is now going to come and share some thoughts with us on that.
Well, good evening. It's lovely to be with you. And as Keith said, I'm Gussie and I am your associate minister, but basically look after the villages. And anyway, let's just pray before I speak. Father God, I just pray that you'll be with us as I speak, and take the words that you want to be heard in the hearts of the individual that is here, and for all those that will be listening. I just pray that there might be one thing that they will go away with that will be really, really uplifting, encouraging, and give them a deeper depth, or whatever you say, to their faith. So just be with us and let us really concentrate and enjoy the word that you have for us today. Amen. Well, as I've said, it's a start of a new series, or as Keith said, and what I love about it is it starts with this whole thought about what on earth am I here for? And I'm sure that from time to time you must have asked that question. You must have asked yourself, or at some stages in your life, what am I here for? And I was thinking, gosh, it would be so much easier, wouldn't it, if we were born with a kind of folder, a spiritual plan, so that we can have something, because it's always unique. And you can imagine, can't you? There we are, we've got sort of unique ears. Apparently there's nobody else in the world that has ears like us, never will be. We've got fingerprints, which are completely, for us, totally unique. We've got eyes with an iris in, which is completely unique. So wouldn't it be great if we were born with a folder, with a file, that gave us our own DNA, our spiritual DNA? And in it would be our aims and our goals for our life on earth. Now, I have to admit, it could, ladies, prolong our birth plan for a moment, and we'd have to work out the waterproof packaging, but it would be great, wouldn't it, to have it, to know what God is calling us for. So that if you came across, you know, at a crossroads in your life, which was really, really difficult, or that you kind of lost your way for a time, you'd be able to go to your document wallet, which might be in your sock drawer, and you might be able to find your passport, you might be able to find your insurance certificates, you might find your marriage license or your first school report, and in it you would have your DNA, your spiritual DNA, your calling, all there for you. And then you could just have a look at it and you could check whether you were fulfilling those purposes or not. Well, in one sense, it seems ridiculous that, but I actually think it would be really useful to kind of really work out what is our calling plan? What does that look like? And the first fact that we find out is from Romans 8, where it says, Paul writes, "We know that in all things God works together for the good, for those who love him, who have been called according to his purposes." I like that. Who have been called according to his purposes. Interesting, this word called, for those of you that are kind of like derivations of words and things, it actually is from the Greek, which is kallio. And apparently it is in the New Testament over 100 times. And it means not just that you're being kind of called by your mobile, it might not just be that, it's more about that you are being called for a purpose. You're being called for an assignment, a reason for our lives. That's sort of all impacted in that word kallio. So right at the beginning that we've learned that God calls us for his purpose. Not for ours. It's for his purpose that we are being called. I think it's actually quite reassuring, isn't it, to know that there is a call, a God plan for our lives which are centred on him and not on ourselves. And in Jeremiah 11, I think you probably all know it so well, these wonderful words, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." There you go. In your calling plan, it's positive stuff. It's for him and it's got good stuff, future stuff, all there for you. So it's not about you just being given a blank piece of paper and you've got to work it all out. I think it's so reassuring to know that there is something there already, that if we were to follow it, we will have a life that will be so much more fulfilling than we can ever dream of. That's what this call is about. So you have it. It's a unique plan for each one of you. I haven't got yours. I haven't got Keith's. You've got your own, nobody else's, young lady. It's just for you. And therefore, it is also something important. It is that you are God's gift. He gives it to you. It is a gracious and generous gift. We can't earn it. We can't deserve it. We can't even work for it. The simple fact is that we are given it. And if you have your pieces of paper with you, the first one that is going to say, "My calling is a gift from God." Perhaps we could say together that Timothy verse. "He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because anything we've done, but because of his own purpose and grace." And for those of you who might not kind of get what that word grace is, it's his undeserved love, it's undeserved kindness. So here we see that God's purpose for each of us was first and foremost to be in a relationship with him so that we can shower on others his, and he can shower on us his love and kindness. But there is more, because it says in the following one, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Jesus Christ to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us today to do." Did you know that you're God's workmanship? That your purpose, or our purpose and calling, is to reflect and glorify him. And by through those opportunities that he's already set up. So it's not about you, it's all about him. You have been created for him. Wow. You see, you're not an accident. You are deeply, deeply loved. I wonder if there is someone here tonight who needs to hear this. God does not make junk. He does not make seconds. And he doesn't even use recycled materials to make you. A basset hound, maybe, but not you. He only has plans for the top of the range, exclusive one-off creations, because only the best, the very best, can help him to deliver his eternal plan. In other words, your God-given calling is absolutely awesome. It is just amazing. But some of you here may be actually asking, you know, okay, I can get, Gussie, that, you know, there is a plan. God's got a plan for my life, but I'm also aware that I've absolutely messed up. I've taken a wrong turn in life. I've gone off the motorway and got lost on the B roads. Or maybe you've even gone, supposed to go to Scotland, and you end up going down to Portsmouth. Where does that leave me? Well, very simply, ask God to get you back on the highway. There's always a junction, there's always a slip road that takes you back up. And hear this, God does not waste what has happened to you, not even when we make mistakes. David was an adulterer, and look how God used him. Rahab was a prostitute. Look how God used him. Paul was a terrorist. You've guessed it. Look how God used him. But if you feel like it, and there is one more thing, though, that you should know, and that is that your spiritual DNA, your calling that God has given you before you were born, is permanent. Whether you follow the calling or not, God's calling on your life cannot be altered. You might change your job, you might change your career, you might change relationships even, but your calling does not change. So we've learned that your calling is for you and only you, that it is a gift and that its purpose is to glorify God on earth. But what about the good works, you might be asking? What's that all about? Well, firstly, the opportunities to do the good works, it has said, we have read, that is being prepared for you in advance. They are written in that calling plan. Secondly, they will always be connected to others. Because to fulfill your calling requires a sharing of God's love with others, and for others to share God's love with you. Thirdly, just as a body needs and requires different parts to perform different skills, so in order to achieve the tasks that God has in his plan for us, it requires us to work together with all our different abilities and experiences and knowledge so that we can fulfill those purposes both individually and collectively. And the church is one focus of that. Will and the PCC have a vision for this church, which I think you now all have probably as well, but it says on your website that it would be a place where all can grow, seek God, and a place where lives will be transformed and change forever. A vision which is encapsulated in those three foundational activities of worship, making friendships, and changing the world. I wonder where you fit in. Because if you've been called to this church, then it will be for a reason. For calling is always for a reason, and it always requires a response. Funny enough, when I looked at the website to check my facts, I saw that someone had put on your vision page, might have been Will or someone else, a picture of a blue sky, and in the clouds was the numbers 2020. And it reminded me of a small joke. A young farmer was standing in a field one day when he observed a peculiar cloud formation. The clouds formed the letters G, P, and C, and after looking at them for a short time to ascertain their meaning, he had a light bulb moment and was convinced that they were a call from God to go preach Christ. So later that evening, the farmer went to see the vicar to tell him about the cloud-inspired letters and God's calling for him to preach. Respectful of his ardour, the vicar agreed that he would be able to preach the following Sunday. So the day came and the farmer duly climbed up into the pulpit and started by explaining what had happened the evening in that week before and why he was convinced that this was the beginning of a new ministry. He then proceeded to deliver a long and tedious and virtually incoherent sermon. When it finally ends, the congregation sat in stunned silence. Finally, someone was heard to whisper, "If you ask me, GPC has nothing to do with go preach Christ. I think God was telling him to go plant corn." An amusing story of a farmer who may or may not have misinterpreted what God was calling him to do. But what I really liked about this guy was that he was prepared to have a go. He prepared to test it out. He took a risk for God, which, who knows, might have gone on to give him an opportunity to discover more about God's calling on his life. The truth is that if God calls you to do something, he will empower you to succeed. And why am I so sure of that? I'm sure of it because God has a purpose, a call for you that only you can fulfill. Right at the beginning, we were talking about how our call is unique, and wouldn't it be great to be able to have our piece of paper that gave us exactly what it was? You see, God's plan is for the world. And you have your unique plan, has a unique calling, because you have life opportunities that your next door neighbour that you're sitting next to will never have. You have a place in time which your next generation will not have the same as yours. And you have a circle of influence in your relationships that nobody else has. So God's big plan is wanting you to fit in to that. We plan as of individuals and as a community and as a family and collectively. When I was writing this, it reminded me of that wonderful part in Esther and Mordecai speaking to her and says to her, "Who can say but that God has brought you to this place for just such a time as this? You are not here as an accident. You are here because you have been called to be here." So for those, I'd like to finish, who are visual learners, I'd like to sum up this talk with "Why on earth are we here?" by showing you a box of celebrations. Now, for those of you that know me, I can never do a sermon without some visual thing, because that's what I am. I am a visual learner. And this was given to me as a gift. So in a sense, I'm not inferring that why on earth are we here because we've simply got to eat chocolate, although I'm quite happy to do that. I think there is more to this. So rather, this represents our calling as a gift from God. And if I was to take the top off, you'll see that there are many varieties of different chocolate. Oh, there's a young man at the back who's looking very interested. I will share some with you later. So here are all these different ones. They're different centres, they're different wrappers, they're all kind of really look together as if they're really interesting. And what I'm reminded here that although each one is an individual, it is actually when they are together that they make the impact. They actually have a purpose of being here together. If I had one left, it wouldn't be quite such a wow moment, would it? You need the lot, don't you? And therefore, it also does me one other thing, and this is what one of our calling is that actually not only is it given as a gift of God, not only is it unique and individual, not only is it for us all together to actually become together so that we make an impact in the world, but also is to glorify God. And how do we glorify God? By sharing his love. And how can I share my love? You've guessed it. I can share my sweeties with you. So I'm going to pass this round in a moment. And just to think, this is the thing that makes me giggle. Do you reckon if it says that there are opportunities for my calling that are written in heaven before I even tip up here, this was one of them. You can share celebrations on July the 26th, 2015, with the 6 o'clock service at St. Peter and St. Paul in Buckingham. Before I was even born, that could have been there. Isn't that wonderful? Wow. Amen.